Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, our team that is praying every night, the Lord showed them something to do with food. Scarcity of food and how that's going to be an issue. Of course, we know like that's the plan, but something can change even in this country if we do not just know about, hey, there's going to be scarcity of food, and we just know about it. Then it comes, then we knew about it. You see, that's usually how the average Christian operates. So he says, we knew that was coming. So what did you do about it, now that you knew it was coming? In the book of Acts of the Apostles, there is a time when that prophet, Agabus, went and prophesied about famine which would come. And he came up and prophesied that there's going to be famine. But then the people in the church did not do anything about it. When the famine came, they were going all across other Gentile churches to get food to help the church in Jerusalem. Yet actually, they were not supposed to be in a scenario where they know something and they do not do anything about it. Praise the Lord. But unfortunately, that's the reality. People are just happy to see things come to pass and they say, we knew it. And that's good enough. And that is so sad. That is very sad, because God does not reveal things for nothing. He does not reveal things just to stroke your ego so that when it happens, you know that. You convince yourself that I saw that. And there are people who are like that. I saw that. Then you say, and what did you do about it? Now that you saw it, did God reveal it to you because he was idle? Or is there something he was expecting you to do about it? So now even this thing, we are going to do something about it. Because it's not going to come in the immediate, very soon. But it's going to come in a time when we can have some time frame to do something about it. But you see, everything that the Lord is planning, there's always a counterfeit. Now, our guy there in Kenya, whose victory we celebrated, seems to be falling very seriously into the plan of the New World Order. Very, very seriously. Because suddenly he has become the champion of climate change. Climate change is a fake cult. Fake cult. And the only thing the people who are propagating climate change are trying to do is reduce the population of the world. Their thing is, reduce population or reduce the resources each person consumes and therefore their carbon footprint. Because every time you go out, you know, and do your normal activities, there is a carbon apparently, okay, not apparently, there is actually a carbon footprint that you put, and then the resources you need, water here, aircon here, a car which pollutes us, and all that. So now there are two ways. Number one, reduce the population of the world. And they have stated that by reducing, they don't mean reducing the number of children who are born. No. They have stated clearly that they have to destroy some people who have already been born. Okay? Now, there was that guy, Bill Gates, who came here to Uganda. His visit to Uganda was quiet. It was not publicized a lot. But he came here. And then as soon as he left Uganda, it is vaccines. Vaccines all over. They are rolling out vaccines, vaccines. But now the same man went to Kenya, and then would think that because we celebrated, a man who says God brought me into this seat. The thing is, the average believer does not know anything about agenda. I do not trust church people, the typical church people, when it comes to knowing what God's agenda is. Because they are the easiest people to sway. But thank God that we know the agenda of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Because when you get there, when you're not prepared, not like that man in Malawi. By the way, let me tell you, that guy who was a minister in Malawi, a preacher in Malawi, actually a pastor, and became president. Some time ago, I had some interesting dream, which I did not know what it meant at the time, because it didn't have any meaning to me. But in that dream, I had been appointed the head coach of the Malawi football team. Now I said, coach, okay, I know some football, but not enough to coach. And then Malawi, why Malawi? It seemed like... So when I went and checked what the Malawi football team was called, it was called the Malawi Flames. You know, like we say Uganda Cranes. Eh? There is Malawi what? Flames. So my religious self thought that that means a revival. Flames. But then when that guy went and, you know, came from church to presidency, I kind of knew what the dream was. But I could only interpret it when it had happened. Eh? And there are so many dreams which are like that, which you can't make sense of it right now, but you put it in the cupboard, in the cupboard. Eh? You keep it there until the time comes when... But now when the guy came, man, the guy is deep, deep in the New World Order agenda. And unfortunately, that is typical church people. Eh? They have no idea whatsoever what exactly that we are... This end time is about agenda. The agenda of God and the agenda of the enemy. There is no in between. There is no time, no place for being nice and kind. You know, okay, kind, yes. But you know what I mean, eh? What people call nice in the judgment of the world. Eh? You have to be like a raging bull to go against the agenda of the enemy. Because it can never be easy. They will fight. They will try to demonize you. They will try to spoil you. If you do not know exactly what you're doing, you start doubting yourself. And then you start going behind. And then you fall straight in. Now, as soon as Bill Gates visited Kenya, the next thing I saw, GMOs. Now they've opened the door for genetically modified organisms. Eh? Eh. GMO food. And they said because of the food situation, there is no food situation in Kenya. But you know what the GMOs are going to do to the earth soils? And to them, make them dependent on the one man who is looking to have the whole world dependent on him. Now that's where we have to, okay, maybe stand and give credit to these people. Because for them, they know exactly what their agenda is. And it is control. It will come one way or the other. As far as they are concerned, they want control. So they know where to go. There is a new president here, they come. They tried him with the homosexuality agenda. So are you going to be a champion of gay rights? He says that one, no. They say, okay, it's okay. Then they come back now with GMO. Now later, maybe they will also go there with their fake vaccines. Okay? And by this vaccine talk of mine, eh, there are some people up in those high places who want to arrest me because of being anti-vaccines. Eh? But they are going to die. I'm telling you, what I'm doing is the work of God. The day you see them come and say they're arresting me, for other things, but for those vaccines, they will die in less than 3 days from when they arrest me. I'm telling you. They are going to die because we are not playing games. Eh? They think they have power, but they don't. I wish I could tell you some of the things which we do behind the scenes. Of course, some I can't say because I don't want to awaken some people. But where you want something to happen and it happens. And you do it behind the scenes. But some people think because they are relatives of some old aging man who is about to die that they are very important. Eh? They are not. So, let's wait and see. Some of them even think they can kill me. Huh. Okay. Well, even God knows the hair on my head. You know what Jesus said? Eh? Jesus said the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom. Eh? Because for them, they know what they want. They know what they are targeting. They come and they try to push all affairs in a certain direction. And they know that as long as the people who are opposing them only talk and talk and talk, there's nothing they are going to do as long as they just talk. And I see that even in what? I was seeing that in... And you know, we watch these things and we get heartbroken for nothing. Now I've decided I'm going to come down on them. I was seeing them in the American midterm elections. Eh? They said there is a red wave. So me, I sit and wait for a red wave. Then there are certain races. Man, those guys have... Man, by the way, Uganda can learn something from America about cheating elections. Because they count and count and count and count until the Democrat is in front. Then they declare. When they say Republican is in front, they are still counting. Still counting. Now, 8 years ago, people know election results. In one day, that same night, by the following morning, they are already declaring. Who is the next president? Now they even take 1 month. We're still counting. Then somebody said that even in 1862, when they were counting on candlelight, it took them 1 week to declare a winner. When they were counting votes, no technology, nothing, no electricity. But now it takes them a month. Anyway, my point is, they know power, they understand influence. And now the average church actually does not understand influence. And that's so sad. But now, we have to learn that you are only as relevant as the influence you have. Now, we saw that here during COVID. In the time of COVID, they locked down everybody. But they open everybody, and the church, nobody is interested. What about the church? That one, 60 days. What about the church? They have no influence, not even spiritual influence. Nothing. Now let him try that again, and he will see. No, I'm telling you the truth. Let that old man try that again, and we'll see. Now we have moved to another level. I'm telling you the truth. They wanted lockdown. I refused it. I said, no, it's not going to be there. Now, let him try those things of now we are closing. Let him try it, we'll see. How long he will survive after that announcement. Announcement here, let's see how long he'll be breathing. We'll see. I've said here before it happens. Eh? Because now the Lord is taking us to a place where we have to understand that spiritual influence is only relevant when it leads to ultimate influence. And the influence that actually matters is financial influence. Amen? Is what? Because when the economy is down and they say, let's open our kids because we have to go and get taxes. Are they going to get anything from the church? So they say, you leave us alone. Like, you are irrelevant. You have no influence. And now we are coming in a time where God wants us to have influence. Praise the Lord. And now we are beginning to wield our influence, starting spiritually. But now it is going to go into other things. These people have been praying, know what we have been, things we have been turning upside down. Eh? They say something, we overturn it from there. Now, so they make decisions and we overturn them. And guess what? The decisions are overturned. Ezekiel 21, 27. Eh? Show it there. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more. Until he come, whose right it is, eh? And I will give it to him. So they overturn until the person who has the right comes, and then he says, okay, now I've given it to him. Now your decisions, because nobody will overturn mine. Because I'm the chief overturner. Anyway. So now, we don't like it, we overturn it. This has only started in October. This was not our thing before. So anyhow, and the other things we are going to overturn, some of the things I'm talking to you about, vaccines, all those have already been overturned. You wait and see. They are going to fall in disarray, then they fail, then they what, then they quarrel. It will not happen. Anyhow, but you see, until the church understands that man influence, you are as powerful as the influence you wield. Otherwise, nobody cares about. Let me read some scripture. It's go to Esther chapter 3, go to verse 5. It says, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Go ahead. And he thought scorn, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. Got King James Version. Then it says, in the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pure, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day. I want you to think about this. Those people, they used to do that a lot, casting lots and calling upon their gods to find out what is the best time for Haman to strike. So they don't presume. They are doing something they want to do. He has already decided what he wants to do. But he's now going to consult his gods, and he would go with his group. He had a group of people, which included his wife. And they would go and cast lots, which day. And now it says, they cast lots before Haman. From the first month, that is the month of Nisan, from day to day, and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. Now, this is how these serious these people are. They know what they want to do, but they did it for 12 months, from the first month to the 12th. Every day they are casting lots, not today. Today, not today. Wait a bit. They cast lots, wait a bit. Wait a bit. Until finally, the Lord told them, now is the time to strike. Now, I want you to see that, man, those guys have no presumption. Eh? When they are doing their things, they are very thorough. Very thorough. They know exactly what to do and when to do it. That's why Jesus said they are wiser in their day than the people of the kingdom. Because so many people, even when they know exactly what to do, they will not want to commit it to the timing of God. They will just come out and do it, and then they will get either half results or no results. Then they get frustrated. And now when the time actually comes, when they could have gotten results, they are frustrated, they have moved on. It doesn't work. Now this guy, so they go to the 12th month of Adar. Go to the next verse. And Haman said unto the king, now here is this guy, today is the day when it is going to happen. So he appears before the king. I want you to hear these words. There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. In other words, there are certain people all over the place. They pray at night, they speak in tongues, what? But there is no profit to the king. We don't see any profit coming to the nation. There are no taxes. For us, we pay taxes, by the way. I think the only ministry in the whole world which does. But anyway. Because they can't tax donations. What you people give here are considered donations. Okay? And they are non-taxable. Only in Uganda. Actually, in America, they even, if people even gave money here and use that money to help the poor, they will deduct what you've used to help the poor from your otherwise taxes. So not only do they not tax the ministry, they even deduct the taxes from all the other things the ministry does for the community. But in Uganda, of course, once of course you get into politics, then now they start looking for everything. Anyhow, the other ministries which pay tax, others went and volunteered to pay taxes. Because they thought it makes them feel what? But even me, when they came, I almost contested it until I remembered also Jesus paid taxes. Then I said, it is well. We shall pay them. Praise the Lord. But they can put you on pressure. And then they decide what they want. Then they even take money off your account. There's a time we had paid, and then they went and took money off our account for the same taxes we had already paid. And you're not supposed to complain. You know, they are thieves. Uganda Robbery Association. Robbery Authority. Babby. Anyhow. But now you see, they come and say, there are certain people out there. They have no influence. Now imagine this man comes and says, there are people out there. We don't know them. They have certain laws which we do not understand. And then even, they are of no profit whatsoever to the king. Now, this is how the world will always see you. And I'm not talking about you, the church. You, anybody. It's all about what you, I mean, where is your profit? The worldly system respects profit. You understand? What do we have to benefit from you? Okay, you're praying at night and what? We are praying for the nation. We don't know those things. Where is the profit? And then, somebody just comes and puts you on a weighing scale, like this man, on a mizan. And look at the next verse. It's not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. Now, he has weighed you, and you're less than 10,000. So he says, well, I want to kill them, and I will put 10,000 talents of silver in the king's treasury. Now, after that, you know what people say that I will come here to get, eh? Because now, to the king, you're just people. Then this guy is, you know what 10,000 talents of silver is? A talent, by the Old Testament weight, is about 60 kilograms, like 59, to be precise. like 100 pounds, like about 60 kilograms. So now this man is bringing 10,000. That means he's bringing 600,000 kilos of silver to the king's treasury because he wants the Jews killed. And everything is, he has the power because you're out there, no influence, you have nothing. You're just floating. For us, we want to be left alone to pray at night. And unless your prayers get you money to have influence, you will be eaten up like sumbusa. I'm telling you, that's the reality of the world. That's the reality of this world. You are as good as... I remember I was with some guys a long time ago. He had an office there at Rezori Towers where, you know, he was a lawyer who, you know, works for a law firm which is a continental law firm and has a lot of money that goes through their account. So he had a credit card, which is a Visa credit card, but platinum. Now, platinum means, if I'm wrong, the people here who know these things will tell me. Platinum means that you have no limits on what you can buy with your credit card. Zero. No limits. Because other people have gold. Gold made me a few million dollars. So anything beyond that, your credit card can't go. Then others have ordinary, where even $1,000 they have to question. But now this guy had the other one, unlimited. So he told me he was somewhere in Europe, and he went to a line to get something. Then he just, you know, idly, in a queue, a few people ahead of him, and he was going to need his credit card. So he just gets his wallet and pulls out the platinum. And the people see it and say, "What? Please come and take a seat." Then they even, do you want coffee? What? Now suddenly the queue doesn't matter. The world system understands money. So when I heard that, I said, so it's money. So your prayers, your spirituality has to produce money. Otherwise, teriyaku money. You'll be like these people. There are people out there who are, but me, I'm giving you 10,000 talents of silver in the treasury to kill them. And the king doesn't say how many are they, how many millions are they. He doesn't care. You know where they say, when he says 10,000 talents of silver, that's where these people say, "Oh, yakomo kutege." Then he just says, okay, go to the next verse. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, "The silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to you." Okay? Go to the next verse. Then were the king's scribes called. And then now Haman has the ring. The ring is the official stamp, which the king, which they used to use to seal every edict from the king. So they write it down, and then you know those things which they do, old things where they put some red ink, then they put the stamp like this, and now that means it's official from the emperor and cannot be altered, apparently. So it's sent out. 10,000 talents of silver. 10,000. But I want you to understand that the Jews were not always like this. They weren't. This emperor Ahasuerus is actually called Xerxes. If you had other books in the Bible, call him Xerxes. And he was the son of Darius. Darius the Mede. Now, the Jews in the days of Darius, before Daniel died, had influence. Because Daniel was sitting right next to the king. And even the king would inquire of him everything. Inquire of Daniel. Because he had come to respect him that much because of the den of lions thing. So after that, everything the king did, he inquired of Daniel. So in that moment, the Jews had influence and they could not be numbered and said 10,000 talents of silver. They were influential. But then, this is what always happens. After a time of influence, Daniel dies, then they just scatter within the empire and they become normal people. By the way, let me tell you, we are never called to be normal people. Praise the Lord. The Lord called us to have influence. If you don't have influence, they will eat you up like sumbusa. I'm telling you. So when you're praying at night, don't think that anybody cares about your night prayers until they produce something tangible which they can see. That's why Bill Gates controls the whole world health. The man does not even finish a university degree in anything, much less medicine. But all TVs call him to talk about health. Now we are going to do this. Money can make Now, is anybody going to call doctors? No, they are poor. Your knowledge means nothing if it is not backed by money. That's why the scripture says the wise man, remember in Ecclesiastes, who saved the city using his wisdom, but nobody remembered him because he's poor. And he saved the whole city, but then nobody remembers you because you're poor. So now, they are doctors. They cannot contradict what Bill Gates says. So you think the wealth transfer, when we talk about it, is not for the purpose of God? It is. A time is going to come when I can talk about zoology. Because I have money. Did you study it? I didn't. But I'm the one they call. Because I'm sponsoring the TV show and advertising. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, like, that is all. The world understands money. They don't understand anything else. And don't say that this world is not my home. Where are you living right now? I'm just passing through. While you are here. Now, the thing is, influence. Now, we have to get to a point, and now we are wielding it slowly. Baruch Hu do these things, and I'm comparing them to the Jews here, and of course, there is a correlation. So Daniel dies, they disappear, they vanish. So they just become somebody. There is a people scattered. You know the mushrooming churches. You know those guys? The guys of these mushrooming churches. You wait when we have money. Nobody would say mushrooming churches. Praise the Lord. And the world transfer is coming. That's why I'm telling you this message. Because when you want influence, you'll get it. You cannot get it if you don't want it. If all you want is just leave us alone. For us, we just want to pray. I mean, God cannot invade your apathy or your foolishness. You have to first say, I want to be influential. So I am at this job. What is the influence I wield here? What can I change here? Can I get somebody a job whom I want? Can I get somebody fine? First, practice it spiritually if it is not there in the reality. Even if you are an office messenger, first, do it spiritually. And this is real spirituality. And you can do it until you can start influencing, having an influence at your place of work. Then that's the beginning. Then you will get addicted to it, and that is good as far as the Lord is concerned. Because when you are influential, he's also what? Because he's the person who is in you, you know? So then you start having an influence and changing things around you. I can get you a job at my company. You come, I'll talk to the MD. Then you get somebody a job. Then you say, I have influence. Then you say, I can get somebody fired. I have what? We are not talk, first. Before you go to this other top influence, first start kidogo at some level. Then exercise it. And then see it. And then grow it. And then use it for the kingdom of God. We are not going to be the church that is scattered all over the kingdom, whose laws we don't understand. They speak in some weird languages. Eh? Can you imagine all gathered and say, sha, those guys, let's just lock them up, and I'm going to put $1 million in what? How do you think these people come and cause us to be locked down? Just lock them down. They put $10 million in the account of the president, and he doesn't care about you because you are not adding value. But the time will come where he knows we are the ones who can lock him down, not the other way around. Praise the Lord. And then also when the influence is there, tangible, not just talking. Anyhow, so Darius dies. His son Xerxes takes over. The influence which Daniel has is lost, and Jews become ordinary people. And when you're ordinary, you're going to be eaten. There will always be a Haman when you are ordinary. I'm telling you, there will always be a Haman. He will crop up. Could Haman crop up under Darius? No, because Daniel was there. And Darius had to ask Daniel everything. What is your Lord, your God saying? That's what actually the Jewish historian, that guy called Josephus, writes in his book. That every time the King Darius, Emperor Darius had to do anything, you would ask Daniel, what does your God say? So there is no Haman who can come up when you have influence. Because if he came up, he would be killed immediately. Daniel would say, you kill this joker. And they would be, but now things change. And that's not the first time, by the and this also happens with the, a bit of the church. Because not just there, you go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. And Joseph died. And all his brethren and all that generation, they also what? Died. Go ahead. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Go ahead. Now therefore, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. First of all, that's a problem. Because you see, when people do not know how to manipulate history and put it in their... Now, how can... Joseph is the one who saved the whole of Egypt. How can it be that a few emperors down the road, people have forgotten about him? Which means they did not write history books. You see the way these Bazungu make us believe everything about ourselves, which they wrote about us. You understand? Eh? Now they even claim that they are the ones who brought Christianity to Africa. Do you know they are not? Christianity here existed in the first century. Can I show you proof? Eh? You go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now I'm digressing, but I have to show you proof. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered, okay, you, the other one says to the pilgrims, eh? Scattered throughout Pontus, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia is Ethiopia. So Peter was writing to believers in Ethiopia in the first century. He died before 60 AD. And there were Christians here. And Bazungu will come and say, we brought Christianity. Rubbish, they did not. They came in the 19th century. These guys were here in the first century. And Peter is writing an epistle to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Asia and in Africa. But because they have the monopoly of writing things, they actually make us believe things which are fake. The Christians who came here, let me tell you, you think God did not know what he was doing when he made Philip the evangelist to go and meet the other eunuch who was coming, the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember that guy? God knew that guy was going to take the gospel to Africa, and he's the one who brought it to Africa. So he came, Philip preached to him, the man received Christ, he was baptized, then Philip disappeared, and the man went happy. And even in Ethiopia, there is a church which is dedicated to that eunuch. He's the one who brought Christianity here. So, first century. When Peter is writing, he's writing to people in Abyssinia, which is Ethiopia, beyond any contradiction, isn't it? All of you know that, don't you? Yes. Anyway, let's go back to Muramwa. But that was Nyonges. But you see, Joseph saved Egypt. But a few generations down, everybody has forgotten about him. How do they? You have to make sure that he's part of his story books. Joseph did what? Because otherwise you become irrelevant. And now it is a problem when you are many and you have no influence. Like here, they multiplied and were fruitful. And then there arose another Haman. So you say, we are preaching the gospel. Now, Barokore, we are 5%. Well, now they are what percent? Where is your influence? A Haman is going to come. Now you hear these guys came and they multiplied. The land was filled with them. You could think that is influence because there were many. No, it wasn't. Now, the next verse. And now therefore arose a new king over Egypt, who knew not Joseph. That is like a new Haman comes up. And they show up all the time. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Can you imagine they're even mightier? They are more. Okay, go ahead. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come to pass. That when there falleth out any war, they also join unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Next verse. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Now, here is the thing. Taskmasters. When there is no influence, eventually you become beast of burden. It is inevitable. 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 Praise the Lord. Now, how can these people a few generations down let them become slaves? Yet Joseph, who brought them there, was, you know, all that to the kingdom of Egypt. Anyway, let's go back to Esther. Now, something happened. Praise the Lord. Go to chapter 9. You know the whole story, but there are just some things I want to get out. Chapter 9, go to chapter 9, verse 4. And it says, "For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this Mordecai man waxed greater and greater." Praise the Lord. Next verse. "Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men." I want to see this. Because Mordecai is seated there, everybody is scared of the Jews. They can do whatever they want. Praise the Lord. The time will come when everybody is scared of Baruch. I'm telling you, because influence. I'm telling you, like, there is nothing as good as knowing that you can get on the phone and call somebody. You think it is carnal, it is not. Otherwise, they eat you up like sumbusa, because you have no influence. Until you can call and say, hello, Your Excellency, this guy is here, what? I say, who is this? This is Derek Breva. Tell those guys that if they continue playing with you, they are going to see fire. Now, you might think that's a joke, but it's not actually. Because the Lord is calling us to influence, not to living ordinary. And now the thing is, some people think that, I just want, like the Jews, we just want to live a life, sow our seed, harvest. That's how they were thinking in the time of Ahasuerus, until Haman comes and says, no, I want to kill all of you. That's when they wake up. And now you see there are people who say things about fasting. But let me tell you something. Fasting is powerful. The king's edict cannot be changed, but 3 days of fasting changed it. 3 days of fasting. And the king even forgot that he is the one who had given Haman the ring. And the tables are turned so fast that even when Esther says, this Haman wants to kill us, what? And the king is very annoyed. But let me tell you, things can turn against somebody in a way. Because when the king heard that he wants to kill us and my people, the king is what? He gets out in the palace garden angry. Then Haman falls down before Esther to plead for his life. But then when he comes back, the king sees as if he's trying to molest the queen. Then he says, would you even molest? Now that is, you know, when Baganda sekatonanga kufutemu, like you're pleading for your life. Then the king comes and says, would you even molest the queen when I'm in the house? Then the scripture says, as soon as he said that, they even cover your face. Now you're not even, as soon as the king, those words come out of the king, they cover your face. And then they take you out to kill you. Now things have turned. 3 days of fasting, a night. I'm not saying that there's any rule here. But the point is that do not underestimate fasting, by the way. You know, there are people who think in this time of whatever, like, yeah, you know what, grace, okay, yes. But man, fasting has a place. There are times when a verdict is set against you. And this one does not come out except by fasting and what? And prayer. When they have given a verdict and you can overturn it, and the principle is here, then the king, everything is overturned. But let me go to the Mulamwa, praise the Lord. Okay, so this man becomes very great. And then the Jews also become great. And then it says everybody was scared. Do you know, it even says people were joining them because they were scared of them? Even in the book of Acts, you would think that people will join you because you've preached very well the gospel. And of course, you go and preach it. But people join you when they are scared. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? It says that the fear fell on all the people and their number increased. So people are scared and they say, man, let's join. This is where things happen. But I want us to, chapter 10 is one of the shortest chapters in the Bible. And it's just specific to something. And it's important. Chapter 10, it says, "And King Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia?" Can you imagine there is a book about the kings of Media and Persia, and Mordecai is there? Yet he was not a king. He was actually a slave. He came as a slave, but a book is written about the greatness of the king. And even Mordecai is there. And I don't know, what are you doing there? That's how powerful he became. And that's what they call influence, where they cannot tell the story of King Ahasuerus without adding the story of who? Mordecai the Jew. Now, we have to understand that we are not, like the world listens to prophet. Prophet, prophet. What are you profiting somebody? By the way, let me tell you, even when you go to ask a girl out, it is profit. What am I benefiting out of what? Being with you. Isn't it? They will not admit, but that's it. Okay, they're admitting. Praise the Lord. Because they have to put you in a weighing scale. And then you might get offended, but the truth is that's how it is. That's just the way it is. It is easier, rather than getting offended, it is easier to actually understand that you can desire influence and God is going to give it to you. Now, don't think I'm just preaching this thing because I had nothing to preach. I am declaring a time for our influence. Praise the Lord. Yes. And now, you desire it, you get it. At whatever level, and start practicing it. That this man, a book is written about the kings of Media and Persia, and Mordecai is there. Mordecai, who was seated outside the king's whatever gate. Very sad and very miserable. But now he's in the history of the kings of Media and Persia. Maybe if Joseph had been written in the history, there would not arise an emperor who does not know him. Because they read the history books and know that Egypt would have perished from hunger if it wasn't for a Jew called who? Joseph. Praise the Lord. Now, prophet, the world has been set around in a way that people from childhood are taught how to be consumers. Okay? And we become excellent at being consumers. And that's how the world is taught. And then you find that there are a few people who are producers. And they are the ones who own the world. In quotes. And they are the ones who determine who is going here, who is doing what, who is... They can block you from here, they can do this. Now they are... Because they produce 85% of the food that the world eats. So they can also decide to starve people if they want. Because it was deliberate by them to get the world, and they teach you from the beginning how to be a consumer, not a producer. Now, when it comes to us here, we are super consumers, super consumers. But even in those so-called developed countries, the producers are very few. Consumers are a majority. So you get they teach you to have a job, get a salary, then buy their products. But then they have power over you, and that power is not going to go away until you are a producer. But we in the kingdom of God are producers at a different level, because God created us, Adam, produce. But then the raw material that we use to produce is his word. Amen? Is his what? Word. Now, his word that tells you to start something, that tells you to go and invest in something, that is the word that is actually the raw material that turns you from a consumer to a producer. And ultimately, people will ask, what are you producing? That's how relevant you will be. And we got a taste of it during COVID when people were called non-essential workers. That means you are useless. You are people dispersed across the what? The kingdom. Whose laws we don't understand. You understand? And then there's 10,000 talents. Then the king says, Dekayo, komao. Go and do whatever you want to them. Bring the silver. Until you actually become a producer. Now, but the word of God, when it is imbibed properly, can turn you from a producer. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean of goods, also of services. Can turn you from a consumer to a producer if you really know how to make it profit. Amen? If you really know the power of the word of God, and if you think that what we preach here is the word of God, in as far as the message and the timing of the message is concerned, then it can turn you from a consumer to a producer, and it can make you profitable. Profitable. Go to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. It says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go, who teaches you how to profit, how to be profitable. Praise the Lord. Now you can be here and you're just some small-time consumer. Even your consumption does not matter. You know, they are big-time consumers. They are consumers, yes, but they are big-time. If they say we are not buying here, that business is shaken. But for even if you quench anger, they will say it's okay. You can go. But then by the word of God, you can turn from a consumer to a what? Producer. And now this is what the believers really have to understand, that the raw material of the words that are spoken by the Lord is so powerful that you can latch onto one of it and go and it turns you into something powerful. Praise the Lord. I know that for a fact, that there have been times when I had one single word and it completely changed my life. I didn't hear it and just slide away from it. I heard it, I got it, I repeated it, chewing card. You understand? You know, the funny thing is, when you read the book of Leviticus, it says that those animals which chew card are the good ones to eat. So also us, we have to learn how to what? You think those things are useless? They are not. Because that word you hear, when it gets into you, and you understand that, okay, now I'm not supposed to be just an ordinary person. I was not meant to be ordinary. By the way, there is nothing as bad as being ordinary. It is a curse. Your presence equals your absence. Like, you can't walk into a place and the weather changes because you're around. No. You just walk in and walk out and nothing has changed. And God never intended you to be like that. Praise the Lord. Now, so he can teach you how to be profitable. And then you stand and people acknowledge that there is something about you. And I've seen people who have made something out of a word. Just a word. A word spoken. And they go and make something out of it. But the enemy is also wise. Like, there will be positive words that you hear, then you will throw in something. And usually the other something he produces is a negative word, which stirs up your emotions. Have you ever seen that? And you were on something positive, you were onto something. And then somebody comes and tells you, do you know what that girl said about you? And say, what did she say? Say, no, let me keep quiet. You know people of Rugambo, how they tell you stories. Now, you know what somebody is? I said, no, I don't know. I will not tell you. I said, please don't tell me. Then you see them going away disappointed. But you didn't want to tell me. And I said, don't tell me, because it is not going to add value. It is going to take away onto something which you were chewing, which actually has value for your life. You understand? That one thing, that one word, which actually is now constructing you in a different place and making you profitable. And somebody comes and steals it out with something negative. And the negative things stir up emotions. They get you angry. They get you, bitter. How can they say that about me? It is even not true. What? Look even at the person who said it. They even like all of this. Can you imagine? What right have they? And then, finished. 1 week. And your anger, let me show you a scripture. It's in Second Timothy. And I saw this some time ago and I said, now I really know what this means. Second Timothy chapter, I think, 2:14. Is it 2:14 or something there about? Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Now, what it calls ruin, here it says in the King James, you go to King James, what does it say? To the subversion, subverting of the hearers. It takes you away from the mulama. Words, you strive over words to no profit. Now, they are words which have what? Which are profitable. And which, if you strive about, and if you really, they can change your life. Then somebody comes and gives you one which is to no profit. And then you start striving over it. Can you imagine? Man, this guy, there is actually a warfare going on in your mind, but which is pulling you down and down and down, and you're getting angry, and you don't understand the power of words to either lift you or bring you down. Now you're striving over words which have no profit, and then they take you. And I remember I used to be like that. I would sometimes not necessarily about what somebody said, even if sometimes it was like that. But let's say you're driving from home and your car hits a pothole. You say, but man, I don't know what KCC is doing, man. Can you imagine what? You spend an hour in jam, you arrive, and you've been striving towards about KCC. Zero profit. Zero profit. Tomorrow, the pothole is still going to be there. And the other day. And you have no control over that. However, if you got a positive word, and now actually started striving over that, okay? Why is it like this? Why? I mean, why does the scripture say, how can I get influence? What? Influence? Then you get a scripture, so now start really mulling that over your mind. I can assure you in 3 months, you will not be the same. I'm telling you, you will not be the same. You will start seeing things changing. Over just one word, one line, like that. There are things which I know, when people choose to do, their lives change. Now I tell you, like, that time when I was, the Lord told me to, wake up at 3 a.m. and pray up to 4. And I did that. I would wake up at 3, and so at some stages, you just find yourself waking up even without, I mean, always, about a few minutes to 3, you bap yourself awake. And then, I'm telling you, in a matter of 1 month, I was seeing something, things changing, the reception. You do that 1, 2, 3, 4 months, your life cannot remain the same, I'm telling you. First of all, you start having dreams, and now this is the thing. You start having dreams which are negative. People are attacking you and what? But that just shows you are going to another level. Okay? Then you start having dreams when you're flying. Have you had those dreams? Now, people come and attack you, then you fly. Now that shows you are just flying to another level. Now you start having those dreams. Then you persist and continue. After some time, all those fighting dreams end. And now the dreams you start having are dreams of direction. Of you wake up when, and sometimes prophetic dreams. I remember at the peak of that time, I would wake up and see people in the morning when I'm waking up. After I pray and go back to sleep, then in the morning when I'm waking up, I'm seeing people, then those are the people I see that day. So I kind of, in bits at least, pieces, see a bit of my day that day. Now you're entering into something powerful. Because now you're being what? You're entering into something prophetic. And you persist on it. I can assure you, these people who come here and start to pray for me, this is not working. You do that 3 months. I dare you that your life will remain the same. It cannot. It cannot. Because I don't know why 3 a.m. But that's what that time the Lord told me. Some people, the Lord tells them midnight to 1. But for me, it was 3 a.m. But I know that that's the time when the spiritual forces of the darkness are actually out doing something. And you think, you honestly think, now there are these people who are in office every day, praying. Every day, from midnight to 4. You think they can remain the same? They can't. Because we are not saying religious prayers. These are spiritual prayers. It actually changes your life. And you realize that even the reception, the way people receive you, starts to change. That time I started realizing, because I used to, my esteem was a bit low because I didn't have money. So I would, there are places I would not go to. But then I realized when I would step out of home, still with no money, people would receive me differently. And there is a place I went where I was with some, and all of them were, Mr. Kableta, what do you want? They said, what are these guys saying in me? But something had changed. Praise the Lord. Something had changed. Now eventually, the money also comes. And the other things that you want. But at that level, you actually wield influence. And you cannot, don't deceive yourself, you can do that consistently. For even 1 month like this consistently, and your life remains the same. Of course, there's an inconvenience attached to it, but when you do it, something changes. You do it today. Now, even now, these people are praying. Every day they are receiving visions when they are coming to attack us. What? That's just showing that we are going higher. Amen? They even received visions when we were here, and soldiers came and arrested me when I was preaching. But it is well. But now, when you start getting those visions, don't concentrate on them. Just continue attacking. The devil is smart. He can get you off the mulamwa. I told you that sometime, didn't I? You start praying and you're actually heading, you're causing damage to the kingdom of darkness and tearing down all the walls that held you back. And now you're going somewhere. The next thing you dream when some man is sodomizing you. Then now you stop your progress and start praying against Sodom. I bind the deal. He has you. You were going, just forget about that. That is the diversion. You see what it says here? Subverting. He subverts you. Continue. Like you are making progress. Now here, these people are dreaming when they are arresting me and what? We are going somewhere. Praise the Lord. We are going somewhere and we are wielding influence. Okay? Now, if we stopped pushing forward and started concentrating, hey, we cover this office in the blood of Jesus. The office is already covered in the blood of Jesus. The only two times when the Lord told me that, what? Shut up. Which I remember, where you told me shut up. The first one is I was being religious and saying that I don't need all this wealth, that if I can just have enough, I don't even finish the sentence. Then he told me, shut up, it's not about you. Of course, that was being stupid. The other time is when somebody came up with those things they are planning what, you know, the thing. Then I went to pray, and then I said that, Lord, surround me with angels. And he said, shut up, you're already surrounded by them. And you, as if telling me, pray other things, don't waste my time. Like, where you're going with fear prayers, and as far as he's concerned, you're telling him to put angels around you. Are you the one who told him to put the first one? Shut up, don't waste my time. Like, find something else to pray about. If you have nothing to pray about, go and drink coffee. He didn't say that. That was Nyongeza. Anyhow, but here it says, striving, warn those people, charging them before the Lord, that they should not strive over words which have no profit. And waste time over useless words. And you've just come from here receiving a word about influence. And then somebody goes and just tells you something small like this. That guy thinks, what? Do you know what that guy said about you? Then he said, I don't want to know. Then you walk. Then you come back. What did he say? You know, there are some people who have too much curiosity. You can never say no. And you know, the devil uses curiosity. Because now you say, don't tell me. There you go. Okay, now tell me. And then you do what? You're going to strive over words. By the way, you have to become an expert at not listening to things. And you really have to become, because there are things which you cannot undress yourself. There are things which you cannot unhear when you've heard them. You know that, don't you? Somebody comes and tells you something and man, it stays with you, but you try to get rid of it, but it is there. You're trying to, but it is there. So it is best not to hear. And if somebody is an expert at saying words which have no profit, stay away from them. Zero profit. I know so many such people. Zero profit. Praise the Lord. Then it says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 8. It says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Now you see the thing here is words. Words, words, words. Because you talk about words. I want you to associate words with profit. Because if you don't, you're going to think your profit lies elsewhere. Yet it actually lies in powerful words of the Lord. He says you're trusting in lying words which do not profit. Praise the Lord. So there are words which actually profit. And then he says also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, okay, that meditate on these things, that your profiting might be evident to all. I think 4:12. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Now you might think that your profiting, because it's inside you, is inside you. No, it appears and it is seen, that your profiting may be seen. There are certain words which you will meditate on them, give yourself to them, and just give yourself 1 or 2 or 3 months or 4 months or even 5 months or 6 months. And by like April next year, everybody sees the profit is evident for everybody to see. I wish you knew that there are places which the Lord used to, I used to drive past. And I would be going home and the Lord says, now turn here, branch here. And then I go to certain places and I look at houses And I'm driving. I drive slowly, looking at houses. Eventually, actually, those houses came within a room of. When you go and say that, I want a house, then the broker takes you to that house. And you realize some years back, you were there. That's why it says in Hebrews, this is the last verse and I finish. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, that for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. So you hear a word, you do not mix it with faith. So it does not profit you. It just goes. Now, when you meditate, you build the faith. Now, some people actually have, you hear a word and you say, okay, now I'm going influence. Now I'm going to be all about influence. I'm going to office. I'm going to start working my influence to see what I can influence. Then sometimes you just change things for and say, they have decided this. And you say, let me see how much influence I have. Let me try to change it. Then you go and say, you know, you people, you know what? I don't think we should do that. We should do something else. And then you see how much influence you will. Then you say, hey, so actually I have influence. So some people will go and do that. But now the word did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith by them who had it. So now, what we are trying to do is to build faith, lift faith, build faith. And we are praying at night. Even if you don't come there, you can pray from home. For any 1 hour between midnight and four, for those of you who have, you know, any 1 hour, you can choose midnight, one to two, three to four, up to you. At the very minimum, others can pray the whole 4 hours, but if you can't, it's okay, just pray 1 hour. And then commit yourself to this influence. And just thank God that He's now bringing you to a place of influence. And you are going to see a difference in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the way, these prayer warriors we have, if those guys touched me, I see people here who would just tear them to pieces in the spirit. And I'm telling you, you declare, you cannot stand 10 people and proclaim a word about, 10 believers, and proclaim a word about somebody and who is an unbeliever. And I'm telling you, it cannot. When you are in agreement, all of you. So now, I see some people here who really say things. So I'm safe. Anyway, whatever. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You see, some of these things don't scare us at all. Because, we are reading the words of somebody who spent all his life in prison. Almost all his life. But he's there feeling sweet about his stripes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.